Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is hour number 3 with Santos Bonacci. And also bear in mind that this is a listener-supported broadcast. It only happens because you, the listeners, donate and subscribe to me. So I can just sit here like the man behind the curtain, moving the wheels and the levers and stuff like that, and trying to just, you know, help these activists and people like that who get discriminated against by scumbaggery. Just have a heck of a lot of coverage that they deserve and really get from the douchebag, retarded, logical fallacy-ridden mainstream media, who are just no longer relevant in any way, shape, or form. And if the media is no longer relevant, I mean, ergo, you should frickin' replace them, shouldn't you? Rather than trying to complain about them, don't you think? So please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and subscribe today. We've moved into a new guerrilla media house, so the rent's actually quite surprisingly a lot more than I bargained for. So I'm kind of got a shortfall of around about $100 a week. So if there's anybody out there who's capable of donating on a regular basis, you know, $5, $10, $20, it all eventually adds up, and we won't really have much of a problem bringing in people like activists and whatnot in New Zealand into my home, and just sitting them onto the second computer next to me and train them how to do all of this stuff. That's basically the idea, so that they won't need me anymore. You know, that's pretty much it. Donate to me, so eventually the activists won't need me. Because they'll be independent, have the skills and hopefully the technology one day. I don't know. It'd be cool to grow the operation exponentially, and it'll probably grow to that point organically. One hopes. All right, so back to the show. Sandos, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, brother.
Yes. Now, wrapping up, we've been talking about a lot of things here, you know, etymology, the meanings behind things, and even the structure of matter and sine waves and things of that nature itself. And you've come from this religious background. You've kind of been shaken out of that that fallacy kind of thing. And was it really, really painful to go through for you, or was it kind of like fascinating and fun to transition from that?
Oh no, it was fun to get away from that for sure. Yeah, bit by bit, around about 2005, 2006, then finally in 2007, I really, really woke up completely. 2007 was the year. And it was great dismantling all the fictions. It didn't take me long to put everything together. You know, I put all the parts together in a couple of short years. By 2009, I had a complete picture of everything that was going on, because I had, you know, I mean, I can fall back on 30 years of research that I've done. I've done solid research, but I've never been able to... I was never able to understand what was really going on until 2007, until I broke away completely from fictional organizations, and as I was learning things bit by bit, I kept breaking away from all the fictions. And so then I immediately set about finding ways of getting the information out to people, because I was finding that there are a lot of great researchers out there contributing with their bits and parts, but there was no syncretism. You know, one ring that rules them all, and there had to be one key to unlocking everything, you know. And so and I knew it, and I had it. I knew it was on the wave. It was the ecliptic. The ecliptic has all the information on it, everything you need. I've proven that in my presentations. You know, I can't do that in a 3-hour radio show, but you you'd need to have a look at least 6 or 7 of my presentations that that I've uploaded on YouTube. Everything I've published is free. I don't charge for anything. And, you know, I don't even have a donation button on my website. I just do research and publish it for free. That's it. And so I started, I think, in late 2010, early 2011, I published my first video called The Key, based on The Key, the sine wave. And that was it. I haven't looked back. I've been busy since then. 2011 was busy. 2012 was busier. 13 was even busier. And 14 is going to be absolutely chock-a-block full of activity. And I've got lots of new stuff. I'm still working on exposing the true story of the DNA and showing how the ecliptic and the DNA are one and the same. And all of the beautiful information we've got, we're making a presentation at the moment based on the DNA. That's going to be revealing a lot. And I'm also working on the Kabbalistic cube of space. So, you know, this is the 22 cards of the tarot and how they are all positioned around a cube. And it tells the story of the, well, the transmigration of the human soul and the journey therein. And the only way to understand the two-dimensional Kabbalistic tree would be the cube of space. So I'm making a presentation on that. I'm developing lots of other things. I've got so much new stuff. It's just crazy. All I need is, really what I do need is a good documentary company with loads and loads of expertise on digital stuff, and we can make the best syncretism movie in the history of the universe.
Movies are so effective. That was one of my brilliant realizations I had the other day. It's like all of these brainwashing mechanisms of the New World Order, you know, like movies, TV, radio, and all of that kind of jazz. It's actually really designed to just mind control you, right? I reckon we can design things that are very similar to make your mind go completely out of control. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah, for sure. The movie that I'll make, it will be a documentary based on syncretism. And it will cover all subjects. It will cover every religion, every philosophy, every science. There will be alchemy in there, syncretized. There will be the Hebrew language, the English language, the Latin language, the Greek, the Egyptian, all syncretized. There will be the Mayan science, the Chinese science of astrology, sidereal, Western tropical, all syncretized. Everything will be syncretized. All the sciences will be one. In this documentary, no more division.
What,
it's easy to do.
What length is this documentary going to be? Because we're doing a 3-hour presentation here, and it's not enough.
Well, I'm going to do 3-hour ones. I'm not going to bother with 90 minutes or whatever. You know, I'm going to do 3-hour slogs, and I'm going to do part 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, or however many it takes. But it will all be. It will all be one work, however long it takes.
Oh, and you're going to get a whole crew together as well, man. I'd imagine you'd have quite access to a lot of willing volunteers and whatnot to give you a hand, right?
Well, so far, yeah, they're more than abundant. But the problem is we need, you know, to come together. We need to really put minds together in one place where I would be, you know, giving the content. The storyline is virtually in my head, and I will be supplying all the information and knowledge and everything like that, but I need others to create it, you know, to create the images of the cosmos. For instance, I would begin, the first graphic I would do is to grab the sphere of the heavens and all the stars therein, and grab that in a two-dimensional way, and transpose all of those stars to the human organism so that we can see the relationship, the holographic relationship of the as above to the as below and all the correspondences. And I would begin from there. And we would start our journey on the ecliptic at 0 degrees right ascension of meridian in Aries at the top of the head, and we go all the way through the body and we observe all the 48 constellations of the dome of the heavens inside the body, and we would recognize which constellations correspond with which organs. For instance, we start in Aries. Aries is the ram, the cerebram. In theology, Sarah Abraham. And so we would start in the head and we would see the two hemispheres of the cerebrum. Then we would go into Taurus and we would go into the cerebellum, the bull. Then we go through the neck and we go into the shoulders and arms and lungs, and we have Gemini, the twins, and all the way to Pisces, the feet. And we would show how Leo is the heart, how Libra is the kidneys, Sagittarius is the hips, hippo, the hips. We would see how the Eridanus River is in Taurus, coming from the foot of Orion, is nothing but the ventricular system in the cranium. I would show how Orion is the optic thalamus, how the Pleiades is the pineal gland, and the Hyades would be the pituitary body. And I would show how Cetus is the brain substance. I would show how Auriga is the auricular, the auditory system in the cranium. I would show how all the 48 constellations are in the body. And then we could go through, start at 0 degrees right ascension of meridian and go through all the holy days of the calendar in every culture under the sun. And we would see that every celebration or sacred festivity is specifically positioned on the ecliptic to harmonize with the season that the sun is going through on the ecliptic. For instance, Easter is always celebrated in the first sign in Aries because Aries is the Lamb of God. So the Jews are crossing the Passover, celebrating the crossing of the Passover, and hence the Paschal Lamb, whereas Christians are celebrating, you know, Easter. And that all happens in Aries because it's an equinoctial celebration. Then Christmas is a solstitial celebration. Halloween is a cross-quarter celebration.
Speaking of Halloween, I don't know if you've heard this story, but apparently the whole bobbing for apples things comes from when they were like trying to sacrifice people on All Hallows Eve and stuff like that. And if they went bobbing for apples out of a boiling cauldron and they got an apple, they'd be allowed to live, but they'd kind of have like their face burned. You ever hear about that?
Yeah, all of that stuff went on, but that's all. That's all the latter Dark Age stuff. It's not the true meaning of Halloween. Hallow means holy, and it's the eve of All Saints' Day, because traditionally 1st of November is the date when Noah enters into the ark and all the world are destroyed by a flood. And supposedly that got connected in with this, the day of the All Saints or the Day of the Dead. In Italy, I think they call it the Day of the Lost Souls or something like that. But it's all about the ecliptic, because 1st of November is the cross-quarter day that happens in the fixed sign of the zodiac called Scorpio. And at midnight, 31st of October, the eve of Halloween, the Pleiades are directly above your head on the ecliptic. And the Pleiades being on the ecliptic produce an effect on the Earth on that cross-quarter day, whereby the veil between the higher dimensions and the third dimensional reality is thinner than other days. Hence, people were able to see spirits and ghosts and visions, etc. This is why they dress up in all of those ghostly, ghastly attire, because they are mimicking what they're actually seeing in reality, and that is the etheric bodies of dead, lost ones and so-called ghosts. So, but what is happening is that the sun is entering the tomb. Scorpio is the backbiter, Judas, who betrays the Lord. The Lord is the sun on the ecliptic. Judas, the big J, when you look at the sign Scorpio, you'll see that it's a big J in the sky. He betrays the sun with a kiss. Yes, of course. because Scorpio is a backbiter, and when it bites, it leaves the mark on the flesh of the human being in the shape of a kiss, two lips. And so what we're dealing with is we're dealing with the ecliptic. All the holidays, the holy days on the ecliptic are there for a reason, because they correspond with the sign above. For instance, 6th of August, the day of the Transfiguration of the Lord. Yes, because the sun is in the middle of Leo, and that would be the hottest part of summer, the 6th of August. The sun is transfigured. August the 15th, the day of the Nativity of the Virgin. The day of the Assumption of the Virgin. Yes, because Virgo, the next sign, is assumed by the sun on the ecliptic, and you can't see her anymore. She's gone. Before that, you could see Virgo. After the 15th of August, she is assumed on the ecliptic. And then come 8th of September, you have the day of the Nativity of the Virgin. Well, why is she born a month after she disappeared and was assumed into the clouds, into the heavens? Because finally, when the 8th of September comes along, you can begin to see the stars of Virgo again being, further enough away from the sun so she is visible again. And so the ecliptic explains all things. There's nothing that it can't explain. It can explain how the DNA works, which I'm going to do and reveal in my new presentations. It can explain how astrology works. It explains how astronomy works, mathematics, geometry, Kabbalah, chemistry, alchemy, everything. It's all on there. And I've done it ad nauseum.
There's just so much to know. Have you ever noticed that there's some people who just kind of like, I know enough, okay, I just can't be bothered learning anymore. I don't know what the hell is wrong with those people. I mean, is it too stressful learning stuff, Do you need to have a absolute ground base for the way everything is? Is everything that is labeled a conspiracy theory automatically wrong because it's a conspiracy theory? If you use just the circular reasoning and circular arguments and all of these kind of things, and it doesn't exist, it doesn't exist, it doesn't exist. Well, why doesn't it exist? What about this reference here? Oh, but that's a reference from a crappy website. Blah, blah, blah. But did you even read the reference? No, I didn't. I don't have to because it's from a crappy website. But that's a circular argument again. I know, but I'm a mainstream journalist, and I don't have to deal with any of that stuff. This kind of BS. I mean, come on! I'm getting sick of it, man. I'm just getting so angry.
It's only going to bite them on the bum. It's going to be so painful and so holistic in its punishment. But all individuals who fear knowledge and love ignorance are creating false idols that will eventually prey on their subjects and destroy them. They will be destroyed by their own false idols. They are creating thought forms and emotion forms which will only turn into beasts and demons that will cause them to self-destroy. And what will happen is eventually they will lose all the energy of their vortex and they will never be able to reincarnate again, and they will be lost souls. And that's if they go beyond the point of, you know, no return, which is quite possible to do.
The part of the frustration, though, is kind of like, actually, it might even come down to ego. I'm telling the truth, and you don't believe me. That really ifs me off. Are you calling me a liar? Is that what's happening to me, Santos? Santos, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am. Sorry, I had mute. Yeah, that's what the ignorant mind will do. The ignorant one will attack you and belittle you and call you all names because they are protecting their own fears. They are protecting their fear to step outside of what is, you know, what they believe and what they've been educated to believe. And the system has instilled that fear in us, you know, it's from school days. The moment a little child puts his hand up to ask a quote-unquote silly question and gets laughed at by all the other kids in the classroom and the teacher too, this kind of peer pressure is developed and nurtured in children. It's a very destructive scholastic system that we have. It's morally deprived. It has no enlightenment value in it at all. It's purely for the dunce and to make dumb people even dumber. And together with the diet of cooked food and animal products, you've got the complete package, a dumbass slave who will go along to get along.
Well, hey, and on top of that, let's not forget dehydration, yo. Apparently, most people are walking around, they're like 50% water, they're supposed to be like 75, 80% water or something like that. People just aren't drinking enough. And not to mention all the things that they drink to quench their thirst have frickin' way too much electrolyte salts in them and their sports drinks and things like that that just frickin' dehydrate you. And also there's sodium in the Coca-Cola as well. That dehydrates you. And I saw a health magazine like a couple of years ago, Santos, telling people that if they're really thirsty, they should start drinking, they should just have a coffee because it's got water in it when coffee dehydrates you. And what about all these chips and dried foods and everything all over there? It all just leaching the thing out of the body. And, you know, it's like we've got all these engine parts in our brains that aren't getting any oil. Like the water's the oil and the brain and the synapse of the engine parts. It's kind of that way, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle. It's absolutely a vicious cycle. That's why you and I do not play in that sandpit anymore. And we advocate to all listeners and all free individuals, divine beings, to not play in this playfield anymore. It's corrupt. It's putrid. It's a military-industrial complex designed to manipulate and control us in every single way. And We're not buying into it. That's it. We are advocating to step out of it and say no. It's just a crock. Pure crock.
Yeah, I know. And being from Australia, they know what pure crock is all about.
Yeah. You don't want a crocodile biting your bum, do you?
Or a wolf spider, for that matter. In fact, my mate was telling me he was cruising down the desert road one day and there's a big spider, big freaking spider, big as a dinner plate with legs like a giant crab, hairy as fuck, and he's inside the car, on the window, the passenger side window, where his missus is sitting in the passenger seat, this giant wolf spider. I was like, oh my god, and like the wildlife in Australia, it's almost like it's prehistoric kind of thing.
You know? Yeah, my son got bitten by a redback just last month.
My God. Is he all right?
Numbed. Yeah, he's all right now, I'll tell you what, Dad. But he's finally now going on the narrow and cramped road that leads to everlasting life, and he is changing all of his diet. He's doing all the good things now, going to raw food, going to sprouting, eating, you know, seasonal fruits. He's just changed everything. He's doing oil pulling, coconut oil pulling, that is, to release all, get rid of all the toxins. I'm telling people to do three or four of those a day, not just one. And his eyesight is getting better. He's had a problem with a scratch on the pupil of his eye that's really debilitated his eyesight, and that's getting better. All the things that I've told him in the past, you know, years, which have taken him so long to do, you know, like getting rid of meat in the diet and cooked food and all those poisons and just be done with them. They're all useless and they're all killing us and depriving us of 50, 60, 70 years of vitality. People are dying at 70, 80, 90. This is ridiculous, you know. Minimum, we should be vital till the age of 120. And you can do it simply by just eating raw food, food that isn't hybridized. And that's it. That's the secret. And then the body will be, you know, strong enough to deal with chemtrails and fluoride. And I don't worry about any of that rubbish. I've got no worries about any of that stuff because I don't get sick. I don't get a flu anymore. I just don't get sick. It's not going to happen. Can't happen because I'm eating raw food. That's the protection that you need. It's the only protection. It will eliminate all acidity from the body. It will restore all the DNA. You will have a perfect body within 4 months from going raw vegan. And so, I've also experienced that, you know, a lot of the insects and dangerous animals here in Australia. I used to have to, when I was younger, kill black snakes, brown snakes, tiger snakes. You know, I don't know how many of them I've killed, and I've had to. I wouldn't do it today because I wouldn't kill an animal. But in those days, growing up, we thought we were, you know, serving everybody in the neighbourhood, protecting them by killing all the poisonous animals and that. But there are ways of cohabiting with them. They don't need to be sprayed. They don't need. They know that they've got their areas and. Humans have got theirs, and they know how to respect that when the energy is right in our dwelling places. And unfortunately, we have unbalanced energy habitations. You know, square rooms just don't cut it for human beings. No such thing exists in nature. Why do we put our children in a square bedroom? This is the worst kind of energy. Round or curved rooms would be much more natural, and you would get much better rest. Children are frustrated because they're sleeping in, you know, wrong shaped beds, you know, made of steel and aluminium. These are destructive to the human vibration. I mean, there's so much, you know. In one day, the information to correct all the wrongs on this planet that I could share with anyone who's willing to listen, we could fix every single problem on the planet in one day. That's because I subscribe to all the natural things that have ever existed, the ancient way, you know, which came down to us from a higher consciousness. That's why I subscribe to things like permaculture. I subscribe to grounding and earthing, hydrating the body, solar gazing, oil pulling, natural living food, non-hybridized food diet, etc. Because those are all the correct things. They cannot be incorrect. With knowledge comes the knowledge of these great secrets. It's, you know, you don't need to be a genius. You just need to be good-hearted. You just need to be conscious and have will to want better and know that love is the key ingredient that will give us light and consciousness and harmony in our interactions, whether it be individualistically or whether in a community, in a society. We can have so much more balance on this planet. We've just got to realize that we are contributing ourselves by buying Cherry Ripes and Starbucks coffees and all of that rubbish and disgusting filth, you know, which really is all manufactured by, at the very, very top, by a bunch of psychopathic pedophiles. Mm. Period.
Well, they're the most dangerous types of crews ever, and realization I came up with the other day is because it's such a terrible subject, the psychopathic pedophile rings that are running, right? It's actually really, really, it makes people feel sick just to hear about it, and so in so doing, they don't want to hear about it. And because they don't want to hear about it, they don't know about it. And because they don't know about it, the frackers get away with it.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. They're accustomed to shush, hush, you know. We don't talk about religion and politics. We don't talk about these things. We just talk about the footy and meat pies and, you know, and the new cars. Oh, I've got the new model. Oh, yeah, it's a good model. It's got overhead cam and it's very economical. I get 20 miles a gallon. Oh, and this and that. And they're exchanging useless technological information that is only burying them further in the world of hell in which they exist. That's it. That's all they're doing. They've abandoned the true God, which is bio, and they've gone to the false idol of techno. And they worship that one like you wouldn't believe.
Now, if we're going to change things around, it's not going to be you or me that does it. It's going to be everybody working together from all different angles, is my belief.
Yeah, the time will come when the balance will be found. And yes, it will be all of us. We all will contribute. As we eliminate individual anxieties and fears and stresses, what we're doing is we are alleviating our brothers as well, because we don't go around angrily. And so it rubs off. And they will rub that off onto other people, and it will just permeate the whole atmosphere. We have to lose the fear paradigm. We've been eating, digesting, drinking, swallowing fear from every corner, the newspaper, the media, the governments. They're always talking about shortages and how they're going to start a new charity to help this group who's, you know, underprivileged. And we're going to do all of these initiatives and blah, blah, blah. No love, just money behind it. And all the charities, it turns out that 90% of the money collected goes to CEOs and their mansions, and their mansions get bigger and bigger, and the poor are growing by the day. They're not fixing anything with their charities. We've got to say no to charities. The Salvation Army here has been exposed in January. There was a big, big news item about all the corruption and abuse and pedophilia in that putrid, filthy-hearted, disgusting organization. It is just a military organization run by pedophiles, corrupt, demonic Satanists who want nothing more than to steal people's money through their charities. Charities don't work. They're a crock. And the only charity that we have is the energy that comes from our hearts. No fiat currency, no giving $50 to Red Cross owned by the Rothschilds is going to help anybody ever, period. And we better wake up to this before we drown in debt.
Yeah. It's what was it? I remember, like, many, many years ago, actually, I asked somebody, you know how intelligence agencies started out, right? It was basically the royal families and the incredibly wealthy aristocrats and what have you just wanted to basically gather information on their competitors and whatnot so that they could mess them around and gain more power and influence for themselves, yeah? And also subvert and know what their enemies were going to do. And I thought to myself, well, why isn't there a truth or intelligence agency of some description that's gathering all this information and exposing all the scumbaggery? I mean, it's there to an extent, but not in that kind of professional, you know, sitting in Langley, Virginia offices kind of capacity, you know what I'm saying? I mean, WikiLeaks came close, but, you know, didn't push the envelope, in my opinion.
Oh, WikiLeaks has done very, very little, really. They've done absolutely nothing. All they've done is just, you know, nudged a few sleepers to, you know, think laterally a little bit more, but it hasn't really given them any profound truths about how the system is really a system of slavery. You know, they'll get more from listening to 10 minutes of my presentations that they'll ever get from WikiLeaks about how to dismantle a corrupt, putrid, pedophile system and bring back the balance to planet. Only syncretism has the answer. You'll never find it on WikiLeaks, unfortunately. You'll find a lot of misleading information there, actually. That's what you will find. Yeah, a lot of.
I heard Gordon Duff allege that it was like some kind of Mossad operation, and he's got like handlers.
Yeah, of course it is. They're all bullshit artists. They're all idiots. They're all morons. The truth is coming from truthers. It doesn't come from WikiLeaks. It doesn't come from, you know, it comes from people who tell the truth. The truth is the truth. Simple. It's pretty simple, you know. But, you know, all these meat pie eating, you know, sports buff type corporate attire wearing lower minded, dumb bum goys, sorry, but that's the truth, are just, you know, living in that world. That world, for me, doesn't exist. It's the sewers. That's the sewers, you know. People love it, you know. They go to work and they buy the paper and they want to read that paper. Oh, the paper said. You know, that's just them eating poo and feces and feasting on all kinds of different flavoured poo. That's it. Some's got strawberry on it. Others got chocolate flavoured poo, but it's all poo.
Yeah, some's got corn in it, some got peanuts.
Yeah. And it all comes from idiots like, you know, George Bush's megalithic corporate power and, you know, wealth that he has and all of these criminals. That's all it is. Why we tolerate this corporate disgusting machinery that has enveloped every part of our lives is just beyond me, but just goes to show how, you know, animalistic and stupid humans are. I mean, the scriptures say that they will be eating and drinking, buying and selling, building houses, blah, 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 until the flood comes and sweeps them all away. And I look forward to that day very much.
And I do believe that this day is coming. And even if it's not, even if it's not coming, even if the doom is coming, it's still a good idea to believe that there's something good coming down the track. That way you don't lose your motivation in the meantime and don't do anything so that the end comes even faster and worse.
Yeah, I get a kick out of seeing justice and consequences being met in the linear historical plane. I get a kick out of it. You know, it's interesting when you see banksters jumping out of windows and killing themselves. And, well, they've already murdered who knows how many souls in their wars, you know. I think of the little children in Iraq, the innocent civilians, 3 million thereof, that have had their brains blown to the sky with, you know, idiot, you know
something tells
American
me.
And Canadian and Australian soldiers going out there to get target practice, you know. Oh, there's a kid. Pop. Oh, there goes his brain. Wow, that was fun. That was like the stupid Mbox or whatever, like Xbox PlayStation game that I was weaned on when I was a child, blowing enemies' brains to pieces. Oh, this is fun. Can I have a new machine gun, please? This old one doesn't kill enough. I want a bigger killing gun to put in my pedophile-loving arms so I can kill more innocent people. It's a sewer. The world has turned into a sewer, and it's going to be, I'm going to get a great kick out of seeing, you know, the flood that comes and sweeps them all away, you know, because I won't partake in it.
The flood that comes and sweeps them all away. Ah! Save us, Noah! No, Starboy, you didn't believe me.
There will be the gnashing of their teeth and the weeping thereof. They will be gnashing their teeth on that day because they delighted in ignoring true intelligence and wisdom, and they delighted in maintaining their own ignoramus opinions and their world of shadows. Oh, I believe in this. Oh, I believe in Jesus. Oh, this one's going to save me. Oh, this new car's going to make me look good. You know, all of that, it's all just, I'm done with it. There's nothing in this world that can seduce me. There's no pot of gold. There's no sexy, curvaceous goddess woman.
Otherwise known as a honey pot of gold.
Yeah, none of it. yeah, I've done all that, you know, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, boring, I'm out of here, you know, I'm going for the stillness, I'm going for the cause, I'm going for my full restoration of power. I'm not playing in this field of force and fools anymore, you know, I don't participate, and the world knows that. Whether they're ready for individuals like me or they want to go ahead and kill them, like as they did yesterday 414 years ago with our brother Giordano Bruno on the 17th of February, where he was quite comfortably burned alive, naked, with a nail, with a structure. I think they put a nail in his tongue and stretched it out and nailed it to a little box, so that his tongue, so he couldn't speak and tell the people gathered there at Piazza dei Fiori in Rome the reason why he was being burned alive, simply because he was, well, telling the truth. It's not very, popular. It's not very welcome when you talk the truth, you know. A bunch of pedophiles don't like that. They would rather have, control of a bunch of morons called Goy, which they send off to war to fight each other and kill, and while they sit back and make more money from the profits of war.
Yeah, you got to be gangster about it, like, yeah, Goy!
Yeah, off you go, Goy Christian soldiers, off you go to war, we will make the uniforms as we've done before.
And we'll finance both sides and collect the interest off of that debt, so no matter who wins or loses, they'll both still be in debt to us for the rest of their country's frickin' existence, which means we own your country and you.
Yeah, there was a fat whore once who said, if my sons didn't want war, there would be no wars. That was about 200 years ago, and that would be a whore called Madame Rothschild, you know, the mother of the bastard mongrel sons called Nathan and Slomar and James and all of those pedophile killers that we worship and adore and do everything for in modern day 2014. So that fat whore died like a fat whore is supposed to die, and all her little whore children are still around, you know, poncing around with their charities and stealing money off poor people and raping them and killing them and plundering the earth for its oil and natural resources. And, little David Rothschild, the little pedophile, son of a whore, just a useless piece of tripe going around trying to tell people that his plastic Contiki boat is going to save the world or whatever it is. just a pedophile moron, and his mother was a whore. You know, what can I say?
Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
Yeah. My mother was a divine being. Too bad about the Rothschilds, that they're just sons of whores. It's just a bit disappointing, isn't it, really? And the Rockefellers and the Clintons and the Bushes and...
well, they're all intermarried and related or something like that. There was some 14-year-old girl, I think, in the States did a genealogy on Barack H. O'Barry. And normally with genealogy, you only trace back the father's line, but she traced back the fathers and the mothers, and she discovered something. 14-year-old kid discovered this, okay? How dumb are the adults? She discovered that every single US president is frickin' related. It's throughout history, all right? And they're all tied back one French king or something like that. And the royal families of Europe, it's the same deal. They're just this big, incestuous frickin' family. I mean, you've heard of the whole thing about a family farm or a family ranch or whatever. These people's family farm is the whole globe. And everybody on it is their frickin' livestock.
Yeah, they breed and rape like pigs. They're pigs. They're pig-hearted. They are pigs. They're swine, and they've incarnated into human bodies. And this happens in the Dark Ages due to the animals from the dark satellite, which are incarnating on the planet at the moment. Once they've been eradicated and dealt with, they won't return. They'll return to their vortexes will return to to the ether, and all of the energy will be reabsorbed into more finer beings. They will cease to exist. Their souls, these are lost souls. They're lost souls. This is their last, their last hurrah, really. This is their last effort to have some fun in the limelight, because their days are numbered. The writing's on the wall. Their crimes are manifest to all the universe, and they will be dealt with, and so will all their pedophile organizations like the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Catholics, and all of their creepy soul-slaying institutions will be dealt with and burned in hell and perish forever in damnation. And so will they, if they continue in their weak-hearted, filthy, animalistic endeavors. It's time for a bit of repentance, I would say.
It's funny you should mention repentance, because I think my wife was talking about repentance, earlier today, and I was like, I really like the idea of repentance, like not only for other people but for myself as well. I like repenting for some reason.
Yeah,
I guess it's because I do want to be saved, Like I just don't want to die, and I don't want to be a slave. I mean, maybe I'm just being selfish.
No, it's looking after your divine light as you are supposed to be. Love yourself first. Love your Godship first.
Well, if you can't love yourself, how can you really actually truly love somebody else? Because you don't even really know what it is. And I think it's kind of like self-respect. You see so many people in their bad relationships. A girl will have a bad relationship with her father, and then she goes and has a hell of a lot of relationships with really bad guys. And so what happens is that you don't kind of stop and correct yourself and just go, oh, hold on a second here. I'm doing something wrong because things aren't working out. Maybe I should change what it is that I'm doing. And if I have to change what I'm doing, that means I have to admit to myself that I'm full of crap and I don't know what I'm talking about. Right? Sometimes, you come to that realization, it's like, damn it, I'm such an idiot. I'm getting it wrong again and again and again. But here's the thing. It's like if you're playing a video game that requires certain skill or whatever to get past a certain level. I don't know how many games you play, Santos, but it's about repeating the cycle again and again and again until you've actually figured out what's going on and have the skills necessary to pass the level, right? And I think in your wake-up process, there's umpteen different levels. In fact, I think there's probably unlimited, infinitely up and infinitely down. You could be infinitely stupid, because I think there's no limits to stupidity and there's no limits to intelligence. Would you agree? Like there's not like a minimum amount of dumb that you can be. Like everybody can be that dumb and no dumber, or somebody can be that smart and no smarter.
If there were such a machine that would exist that I would love to invent, where you could press a button and know how stupid you really are, I would love to make that machine, and 99.9% of humanity would find that they don't even register as stupid, really. It's really sad to say that for all the so-called intelligence and all the good that they can do. For instance, there are many scientists working to make better communications, better computers, better phones for communication. But it's still all, crappy technology anyway. But nonetheless, they are intelligent. But at the same time, it's a left-brained intelligence. It's an education. It's not a natural, a heart intelligence. It's got nothing to do with that. They're detached from the causal intelligence which they have, and they are using an effectual, a sensual intelligence based on their senses. So whatever their senses tell them, they believe. These basically would not even register on the scale on the side of stupid, And I wish we could make a machine like that, because then it might wake a few people up. They'd press the button thinking, oh, I'm going to clock. I'm definitely going to be on the side of intelligence. Just wait till I press this button. and press it, and then find that they don't even register as stupid. It might actually you know, if there's some good-hearted ones in that bunch, they might actually think about things and, you know, look around for some knowledge that might, you know, give them some intelligence and give them some real heart living so that we can, you know, get back to nature and love and stop killing each other because one's too tall, one's too fat, one's in the wrong religion, one's got the wrong colour skin, you know, and all of this disgusting, filthy, animalistic behaviour that which we've fallen into.
I do think that this animalistic behaviour is something that we could regress back into. I had a flatmate quite a number of years ago, actually, who he was, I think he was doing construction work or something like that in Africa, and his plane crashed in the Congo. In the rainforest, and his pilot died, everybody else on the plane but him died, and he escaped relatively unscathed, but he was in the African bush completely alone, you know, and he said within 2 days he became an animal, like all of his higher thought functions, emotions and things like that disappeared, and he became as an animal would, not thinking about things, just going about doing things by instinct. He had to kill lots of creatures and to defend himself, and he was eating different things all over the place and whatnot. He just kind of like going like that. And when they found him, he said he was like all raggedy and kind of gruff and looked like he'd lost a lot of weight and everything like that. And it took him something like a month to return back to normal, kind of like the man that he was. Do you think that system of animal urges and things like that is there for a reason? Like just in case we get in that situation, those things will come back?
Yeah, well... A person of this nature that you've described would not have been in his higher mind in the first place. He would have thought he was quite intelligent. He would have thought this is only a lower-brained individual can go back to that animalistic behaviour. Yes, that will happen to most people, but it doesn't happen to an enlightened one. An enlightened one, when he is in a situation where he's isolated from others, he reaches silent enlightenment. You know, he finds the silence, the stillness. He goes back to nature. He goes back to the one. He doesn't lose the picture. He doesn't get derailed and go backward, you know, and behave as an animal. This will happen to the individuals that are still stuck in the lower nature. They haven't got the goods to rise above that, and so that's why they fall back. So this is yes, it's a true example, but it's not a good example for you and I. You know, we should never fear that would happen to us. That's just totally impossible. Once you reach enlightenment, you grow from there. You never go back. You can never go back. You know, you're always growing in enlightenment. So any situation, whether you're thrown into a prison, whether you're thrown into a desert or an island on your own, will only improve your enlightenment.
But don't you think that those natural parts of us are there for a reason?
Yep, absolutely. The stomach, for instance, is there. People say, oh, you have to eat, you have to eat. Well, there are people who are breatharians and they don't eat and they don't have to eat. But the stomach was there in case of needing to ingest extra energy, which was, you know, not sufficient in the air and in the water that we ingest. And so you would grab some leaves off a mint tree or, you know, a sage, a herb, and you would chew on that, and the stomach would, you know, digest that and send the nutrients throughout the blood. It wasn't for us to go, you know, gathering all of these vegetables, putting them in the pot, cooking them to death, and then ingesting cooked food and expanding our stomachs so that, you know, we get fat and unhealthy. The stomach was there to be kept shrunk. You know, it wasn't there to be stretched. And this is where we've gone wrong. We're just a bunch of gluttons, really. This is why the scriptures say gluttons, fornicators, and drunkards will not inherit God's kingdom. Well, God's kingdom is in the head, in heaven head. And you can only get up to the head when your cerebrospinal fluid can vibrate high enough and clean enough to get up there. Otherwise, it stays down below the heart chakra and you live as an animal. And so... Raising you know, understanding how the body was designed originally to work, we can go back to that. You know, we can shrink our stomachs. We can go back to natural living food, raw food, and we can rehabilitate the body and bring it back to nature. That can be done in a short span, you know. Rejuvenation of the earth, rejuvenation of bodies is quite simple. All you've got to do is give it the right minerals and elements. And in the body, all it needs is alkaline foods and natural foods, and the body will keep alkalized above 7.24 or whatever it is that we're supposed to be at, and we can heal ourselves and live for as long as we wish.
Indeed. Well, it looks like you have to go, Santos, so I want to thank you very much for your time today. Is there any final points you'd like to leave us with before we wrap up?
Well, no, that's about it. Just encourage one and all to learn syncretism, the science of light, because that is the one and only true true saviour. All knowledge is there. All knowledge is nowhere else. It's in the wave. It's in syncretism. It's in the light.
All right, and ladies and gentlemen, bear in mind, reminder again, this is a listener-supported broadcast, and I have a lot of financial needs, just keeping all the computers running and getting all the shows up and all of this kind of stuff. Survival, I found, has actually become quite expensive if you're trying to run a media organization. It's quite shocking. So please go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood hasn't go ahead, make my news. And subscribe there, either through PayPal or preferably through that Kiwi Bank account number, because PayPal always takes a percentage. Don't really like that too much. So please do that and support this broadcast and the people that we have on it. You know, people like Santos Bonatti, for example. Thank you very much, Santos. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And we will see you again, assuredly.
You are the only exception. You are. You are.